Welcome everyone to the Roosevelt Borough Council meeting of June 7th, 2021 at 7:07 p.m. Due to the coronavirus and the need for social distancing, this meeting will also be held remotely and available to the public in a live feed. Adequate notice of this meeting as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, was provided by a public notice on January 25th, 2021, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes, here.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Mocker?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here. We have quite a few things to discuss tonight, so rather than an actual report, we'll make it part of various discussions tonight. So I'm going to go directly to public comment on agenda items only. I'm going to open that at 7:09 p.m. Is there anyone who, from the public, who would like to speak to anything on the agenda?
No.
Okay, Mr. Cuff, seeing none, I will close public agenda at 7:09 p.m. Correspondence. We have a letter received from Roberts Engineering regarding the NJDOT application for Safe Routes to School, FY 2022, dated June 1st, 2021, which...
And I do have that under new business.
Yeah, so we'll discuss that. And also we have our resignation letter from Councilman Luke Dermody, effective immediately. And I would just like to say officially that I'm very grateful to Luke for his time on the council. He was active in environmental matters. He helped rebuild the bulletin board at the post office, which was very dilapidated and falling down. And, he attended quite a few meetings until recently when he was sort of making some life changes. But I want to wish him all the best and express my gratitude for his time on the council. So we come to approval of minutes, regular meeting minutes for May 17th, 2021.
Yes.
Have a motion?
Yes.
Great. Second?
Yes.
Okay. Any discussion?
Hold on. That was...
Oh, I'm sorry. It was Lou first and Bob second. Thank you. Any discussion? Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Approve.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And
Mr. Mayo? Yes.
Meeting. Minutes passed. Resolution. The first resolution tonight is 2171, payment of bills for June 7th, 2021.
I move that we pay the bills.
I'll second that.
Any discussion?
Yeah, there were a couple bills on there that are just a little bit different. Well number 3 rehab, which cost $27,900. And Vortex, which is a company that does jetting and television of various lines, sewer lines and et cetera. And that was $39.50. Otherwise, everything is status quo.
Mm-hmm.
Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Bills will be paid. Resolution 21-72, resolution authorizing temporary emergency appropriations number 2. You know, this is the standard temporary emergency until the budget is passed.
But to offer 2172, temporary appropriations.
I'll second that.
Question?
Yeah, we do this periodically when the budget has not been introduced and adopted yet, and there's statutory guidelines on that.
Okay.
statewide. And I did put out a feeler to George Lang to find out when the budget's going to be introduced, because I think we've done all the work that we need to do on our end. I haven't heard back from him yet, but I'll keep everybody posted on that.
So
I'll make a motion to move 2172.
No, we did.
Yeah.
And Lou, yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
When you just said that, though, then I thought, wait, did we not do that? I could swear we did. Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicor?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Tremere?
Yes.
2172 passes. Resolution 21-73, authorizing shared service agreement with Millstone Township Board of Education for electric, HVAC, and mechanic services.
I'll move 2173.
I'll second, but I want to know something. I thought they weren't going to have any more.
Pardon me, Lou? They weren't going to what?
They did. When last time we asked them about electricians and what have you, they said they didn't have them anymore.
Yes, they didn't have one, but they do. They did hire somebody new.
Oh, okay.
I do not have the name, but I know they did hire somebody new.
Okay, that's good. My second holds up.
Yeah, we've had this agreement with them for quite a few years now. Any other discussion about it? Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicor?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Tremere?
Yes.
2173 passes. Resolution 2174, resolution of the Borough of Roosevelt declaring its official intent to reimburse expenditures for project costs from the proceeds of debt obligations in connection with its participation in the New Jersey Water Bank.
I make a motion to move 2174.
I'll second.
Discussion?
Yeah, the next four resolutions, including this one, 2174, are basically terms and forms and details for IBAC financing through the state for water mains and that kind of thing. And usually the rates are the lowest that you can possibly get for any kind of financing. And these are for bonds already passed for, I guess it's Homestead Lane, Elm, School Lane, and Cedar. And these are all projects that are underway. But the IBAC is ready to finance those at favorable terms. We don't know what the terms are going to be yet, but this is all, again, the next four resolutions are to spell out the terms and forms and details of the IBAC financing and to show that we want to move ahead with that.
Okay, on a question, so that means that, say, on Homestead and Cedar and Elm, we passed the resolution, had the work done, people were paid to do it, so now we're going to move this into a different bond situation, so the IBAC would be cheaper than whatever we're using now? Question mark.
Yeah, this is a financing. These are financing resolutions so that we can get the ball rolling through the IBAC. The IBAC periodically does this when they have funds that are authorized for this purpose, and I guess they're ready to move on this, and so are we.
Our intent to reimburse.
I didn't catch that.
This is expressing our intent to reimburse.
Okay. No, I understand. Yeah.
Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicor?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Tremere?
Yes.
2174 passes. The next one having to do with the same issue is resolution 21-75.
I'll move 2175.
I'm just going to keep the record show. Resolution of the Borough of Roosevelt in the County of Monmouth, New Jersey, determining the form and other details of its note relating to the Water Bank Construction Financing Program of the New Jersey Infrastructure Bank to be issued in the principal amount up to $695,200 and providing the issuance and sale of such note to the New Jersey Infrastructure Bank and authorizing the execution and delivery of such note by the Borough of Roosevelt in favor of the New Jersey Infrastructure Bank, all pursuant to the Water Bank Construction Financing Program of the New Jersey Infrastructure Bank. Do we need a second, Captain?
Okay, so Joe, your first motion and a second?
Yes.
Second, Bob.
Okay.
Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Essequa?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And continuing on, Resolution 21-76, the resolution of the Borough of Roosevelt declaring its official intent to reimburse expenditures for project costs from the proceeds of debt obligations in connection with its participation in the New Jersey Water Bank.
I'll move 2176. Sorry.
I'll second.
Really old if it was 70-something now.
Lou was second.
Discussion?
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicor?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
2176 passes. And 2177, resolution of the Borough of Roosevelt in the County of Monmouth, New Jersey, determining form and other details of its note relating to the Water Bank Construction Financing Program of the New Jersey Infrastructure Bank to be issued in the principal amount of up to $715,000 and providing for the issuance and sale of such note to the New Jersey Infrastructure Bank and authorizing the execution and delivery of such note by the Borough of Roosevelt in favor of the New Jersey Infrastructure Bank, all pursuant to the Water Bank Construction Financing Program of the New Jersey Infrastructure Bank. It's a mouthful.
I'll move 2177.
Second?
I do.
Discussion? Okay, roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicor?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, 2177 passes. 2178, resolution authorizing a reimbursement to 42 Pine Drive, Block 2, Lot 43. Do I have a motion?
You do.
Do I have a second?
Second.
So I think you may all know from the emails that this was a defective meter. So the resident was charged much more than the actual water usage.
And this is for the plumber bill that she...
Right.
Yeah.
Right. She was told to... she first called about her excessive water bill. She was told to that she probably has a leak and to call a plumber. So she did, and the plumber...
May I jump in for a second? I just spoke with John Holden about that, and he did not tell her to call a plumber. He said to check all of your toilets and whatnot. And at that point, she called a plumber. And then they let John know that there was water in the meter pit. John came out immediately and found that there was a bad gasket in the meter. And it was one of the recently replaced meters. They had sent him leather gaskets instead of rubber gaskets. He replaced another one with a rubber gasket, and there might be one more out there. He's checking into that. But I was under the impression that she was told to call a plumber. That was not what I hear from John. He said he told her to check her toilets and whatnot. Same thing he tells everyone. So there you have it. Okay.
nonetheless, the mistake was on, the defect was on the borough's side, so.
No, I think it's justified. I think the reimbursement is justified.
Yes, no problem there, yeah. Okay, I'll move resolution 2178, unless somebody already has.
Lou did first and you did second.
Okay, I'll second.
You're going to second your second?
I'll second my second. There you go.
Okay, roll call. Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, resolution 21-79, resolution appointing the planning board secretary. Her name is April Claudio. She's extremely, well, I think you all know that Robin Talou had to resign. She was not happy about it. She was very content working here, but her full-time job was just taking up too much time. So April Claudio is actually the borough clerk in Belmar, as well as the planning board secretary in Allentown.
In Belmar.
In Belmar, she's also the planning board secretary, right? So she's very experienced, and I've met with her, and she seems very nice. And she's going to be our planning board secretary. Do I have a motion?
No.
Second?
Okay.
Is that you, Bob?
Yes, yes.
Discussion?
Yeah, I just have a quick question, and it may be relative or not. Is she also going to be our Environmental Commission secretary or no?
No, she is not. I'm interviewing someone who for the environmental position. She couldn't fit that role.
Okay.
So, roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, resolution 21-79 passes. Reports of committee chairs. Oh, poor Bob, you're first.
Nothing to report.
Backwood. Environmental health and safety, do you have anything, Bob?
No, I don't.
Councilmember Esikoff, administration.
We're doing fine.
Good. Councilmember Hamilton, finance.
We're spending money. As you could see tonight. No, I don't really have anything new to add. We're just kind of waiting for the CFO to introduce the budget. And then we'll have to, have a public hearing on it.
Actually, Mike, I was going to do this under new business, but I might as well just, I heard from Millstone today. So they have our contract expires soon and we go into the new one. And so I have the new numbers.
Okay.
As of this year, we pay the same tax rate as Millstone residents. So I have the new numbers. But with this increase, though, first aid will be included, first responders. So there's no increase because of us also,
Did you forward this to the council? Yeah.
I got it late in the day. I mean, I spoke to them late.
Okay.
I did forward the email chain. You'll see it.
Okay, great. Good, thanks.
We'll have that for your next meeting.
Okay.
The first aid is included in it.
Maybe that's one of the reasons why it wouldn't, that affects us next year, right? Next year's budget. That's for 2022 budget. Correct?
I thought it started in May.
I thought it started in May.
Of this year? Yeah. Okay. So that affects our numbers. Maybe that's what George Lang was waiting for too.
Yeah. So you have it in email and then I can also,
Okay.
I did forward it to George too.
Yeah.
Okay. End of report.
Councilman Member Mocker, Public Works.
Well, the only thing I have to report is, well, we
No, we cut down a tree across from Town Hall, and we did have a tree fall and block Oscar Drive for a brief period. I think it was last Friday. And we can thank a couple of our residents for going down there and pushing it out of the way, bringing, you know, their tractors down and getting it off the road. So, you know, we might want to go down there ourselves and chop it up, but they cleared the road for us. That's all.
Thank you, Steve. Councilmember Trammell, utilities?
Not much. The water tower, all the bracing seems to be up. I understand they have to paint a little bit where the threads are on the bracing rods. Well number three seems to be complete. It's been online for the past week or two. There's a slight drip from a hose on top of the well, and people will be out later this week to check that out. It is not a problem now. And that's about it. Water's coming in, water's going out.
Joe.
Sure. Sir.
Regarding the water, the sewer plant where there's a dip in there, we've been taking pictures of it and whatever we have to do, it's costing us money.
Are you talking about the video of the incoming water to the sewer plant?
We've done, and we also have had some work done. It seems like we're spending a fair amount of money on this issue. I'm wondering whether we're making any progress. Yeah, go ahead.
There's progress being made. There might be a dip or a break in the line coming into the sewer plant, and Mike has got to get a different type of video system, one that will live underwater, so they can figure out where it is. At some point, if there is a dip and a break, we might have to excavate that line. It's probably within the first 50 yards, 75 yards of coming into the plant. We've had blockages there in the past, this past two or three years, and even before. And so now it's getting closer to the time of figuring out why the blockage is there. Okay. It looks like there's maybe a break or maybe a dip in the line coming into the plant. So that will require some money. But first we have to figure out what it is before we know how much.
Well,
so
it'll require money, but it'll be repaired and we won't have the money going forward.
Exactly. We won't have to repair it.
Spend
every
money going forward. And
every
pictures and doing all kinds of things to it.
Yeah, well, we've had to clear that line because it gets clogged up every year or two. As a matter of fact, it's maybe three times this past two or three years, and it's been a little over 1,000, maybe 1,500 a pop. So it's something that must be dealt with. There was also a security issue at the sewer plant. Someone opened a hole in the fence near where the effluent leaves the water plant into the creek. And apparently it was open years ago, and Mike came in a week and a half ago, and it was wide open again. And it's a chain-link fence, and it was open. And he would have noticed it because it's right where they work all the time. So somehow someone was in the plant that couldn't have happened by itself. So I'm thinking we should be looking at security cameras for the water plant as well as the sewer plant as well as the water tower at some point in time. I believe Anna has been looking around for estimates on that. But just as in terms of security, I don't know, Mike, whether it would be available through some of the Homeland Security funds or the stuff going on, grants and whatnot, but
some time ago, there was some Homeland Security money for securing crucial infrastructure, which included water and sewer treatment plants and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think we should look into that, and we'll put that on our agenda for our next finance meeting to take a look at that and ask George Lang about that too. But yeah, and also we need to change some locks, I think, over at the
Surrey. Yeah, I think that would be a good idea too, because Mike said nothing was missing. I mean, why break into the sewer plant? Or someone might have been inside the plant and needed to break out of it. But there's a gate right next to where the hole in the fence was, and you could pop that gate easily. So, but it was a wider hole in the fence as if something larger had to come and go. We're a little baffled on that one, what that was called.
Because, yeah, we have so many more foxes and all kinds of wild animals here.
Deer break my fence all the time.
Yeah. I mean, we have more wild animals than we ever did.
Yeah, you know, I have no idea. It was definitely interesting to see it, you know. Maybe Mike, one day when it's open, we could walk in and take a look. I'll show you what it is. And it took some work to originally open it, and it looks like it was open in the past. But to have it open like a couple of weeks ago didn't make any sense at all. So.
Okay.
All right. So there is work that needs to be done. We're still looking about the phosphorus and the nitrogen out of the plant. And Carmela's still working on that. I'm waiting for a report from her. So,
Mike, did you say that what's her name? Carmela might know about some money available for that?
For security? Sorry.
I can't hear you, Lou. Can you?
I said, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Do you think that Carmela might know about money for the security stuff?
I'm not sure. I think George Lang might know more about it since he's finance, and he might be aware of what federal grants are for that kind of thing. And I could also look that up and do some research on that. I think I will.
Okay.
To see if there's federal money, because I know there was back, I guess, a while ago when everybody was really worried about national security kind of matters more than they are now.
I think we should take it seriously.
Yeah, I think we should. There are things that could walk that people could take, their pumps, and we certainly don't want them to have access to a water treatment facility either.
Well,
or potential sabotage to water systems and that kind of thing.
It'd be a serious issue if somebody gets disgruntled, you know.
Mike, what about the American Rescue Plan money?
That's a possibility. I have to, again, that's another thing we should really talk to George about. By now he should be up on the regs concerning that. It's a little tricky because that's a relatively new program, and I'm not sure they've really totally ferreted out all of the regs on that, so we'll have to look at that. But that's a possibility. Yeah.
Well, I did
just a
finance notice out to the council tonight. It came in from the DCA regarding the American Rescue Plan guidelines.
Oh, great.
Sorry, Greg.
No, that's what I was going to say. Good job. Generally speaking, I mean, you can spend it on utility infrastructure and broadband to the extent you need it, but that's not really a need in New Jersey per se. But water and utility infrastructure is water and sewer utility infrastructure, and broadband is specific points of emphasis in the ARP.
Right. Good.
All right. Anything else?
Nope. I'm good.
Okay, we'll come to new business. I think the two
just to correct, unfinished business is somewhere there. We have none, so.
Oh, I see. Okay. Formerly known as old business.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just do a couple. The two items on new business might be a longer discussion, so I'm just going to talk about a few quick things. Although there's no camp in Roosevelt this summer, our recreation director, Eric Schubiger, has come up with a program. He contracted to a company which runs week-long programs. I think that there's science based, but I'm not exactly sure. But the notices will be going out to all the parents, and they will have the option starting much later this year. And I think maybe 4 separate weeks, starting at the end of July until the end of August, for kids, if they, you know, if the parents choose, there is an option available where the kids can go to camp for any, you know, 1, 2, 3, or 4 weeks to pay separately. It doesn't have anything to do with the borough as far as financing. The money gets paid directly from the parents to this company. But they've camped for Roosevelt before, and I think it's mostly for, I'm not sure. I think it's for somewhat older kids, but there's good, been a lot of positive reviews about this camp before. So at least we have something here if the parents are interested in sending their kids. So no, if it's not on the website yet, it will be on soon, and then the kids will be from the school will go home with the information about it in their backpacks.
How would this affect the other camp program that's being run by a resident in town?
That has nothing to do with the town. In fact, I was going to ask him if he could remove Roosevelt from his program because it has no connection to the town whatsoever. It's not under our auspices. It's not anything to do with the town. He's running that himself. It's not a town-sanctioned or town-sponsored event at all or camp at all.
Right.
In fact, I'm glad you reminded me, Mike, because I actually meant to ask him to take the word Roosevelt off so that people wouldn't have a mistaken impression that it was a town-sponsored event. But okay. I had kind of forgotten about that, so I'll do that. Yes, it's nothing to do. It's his own camp that he's running. Okay, and graduation, sixth grade graduation, will either be, this will be Thursday, but it may rain, so then maybe Friday, but it may rain. And the way that it's being run this year is that, well, it's, they prefer to have it outside, obviously if it rains, that may not happen. But the general, if it's outside, the general public is invited. However, they can't sit anywhere in the amphitheater. The amphitheater is going to be reserved for each graduate gets one row for their family and visitors. And everyone else, if you're not the family or invited friend of the graduate, then you need to just sit on the lawn or, you know, spaced out around the amphitheater. So I know obviously that's a tradition in this town that so many residents who don't know anyone who's even graduating, but they like to come, you know, such a Roosevelt tradition. So unless it rains, you will be able to come, but you just can't sit in directly in the amphitheater.
Mayor, are we offering any awards?
No, council. They don't, they didn't want, no awards would be given out at all. They
okay.
Nothing at all. Really
didn't we discontinue? Didn't they discontinue awards at one point?
I think so, because we didn't have them last year either because of the lockdown. But before last year, we still gave them out. Yeah.
I thought we discontinued them because of peer pressure and all kinds of things that were happening.
No, every graduate gets an award, so.
I think the awards are a great thing for kids. You know, it's a nominal amount of money, but they feel so proud.
Yeah, but I my understanding is because the classes are so small, or were so small,
okay,
the population, that the kids that didn't get it, it stood out too, you know, it was too obvious. And the children, some of the kids that didn't get awards were, parents and the kids were both bent out of shape a little bit, so.
I think every child got an award.
Every child gets an award. I don't think every child gets a monetary award.
Right.
But every child gets an award.
Oh, is that what it is now?
That's yeah, some of them carry.
Oh, they must have changed it to that. Okay.
Because, you know, the Roosevelt Arts Project gives an award, and I think that's, you know, that's factored into one of the awards.
Yeah.
Okay.
And last thing I just like, well, last thing from my list, so I just like to remind everyone that the primary election is tomorrow, so please don't forget to vote. 6 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Gregory Cannon on the
what, Lou?
I'd rather have Gregory Cannon on the ballot. I'm not sure about him.
Hey, don't vote for that guy.
Yeah, good luck to Mark, Greg, and also to Matt. Matt's on the ballot. To Matt Anderson, he's also running for a state committee seat too.
So. And Bob.
Great.
Yeah. And also
good luck.
We have Steve running, and we have Bob Atwood running.
Yep.
Walker and Bob Atwood.
How to be on the ballot with you fellas?
Oh.
We'll be monitoring at the poll tomorrow. I know Peggy and I at least will be there. And Steve, anybody who's on the ballot, Steve and Bob, you're automatically have challenger credentials. So I'm encouraging both of you to take some time and to come in and sit at the table as a challenger. And I can either Peggy or I can go over some of the procedures. But basically, you just sit there and you take a look at the voting list and check off who's voting and make, you know, and just be present and a witness to what's occurring. So if you guys want to take some time, just let Peggy or myself know when you're available. Polls are open, I think, from 6 until
8 a.m. Sure.
6 a.m. or
6 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Wow. Long hours, but anyhow, so if Steve or Bob, if you guys have a time slot and want to spend some time there, that would be great, I think. Just let Peggy or myself know.
Okay, so back to new business. The first item on here is the NJDOT application for safe routes to schools FY 2022. So this is the big one, right? I mean, the one that
This is the letter. If Carmella did a recommendation, if they wanted to move forward,
okay.
She talks about what she right there.
She's talking about a sidewalk on the northbound.
Yeah, the whole purpose of this safe routes to school kind of program is to encourage children to walk or take bikes or find some healthy way to get to school rather than just being dropped off by somebody. Also to make it safer, and more attractive for kids. So they're looking for any kind of small scale project to improve the safety of for kids in a K-8 kind of environment. Yeah, sidewalks, curbs, crosswalks, that kind of thing. And I think the borough engineer has some suggestions should we want to her to apply for this grant.
Now, noted that if the cost would be $7,000 for her to prepare the grant, apply for the grant. So we need the okay of the council to go ahead with that.
Yeah, you know, I just want to say that I like applying for grants, but it becomes costly after a while with $7,000 a year for this grant. And really, it's kind of you have to kind of gauge whether or not we have a decent chance, because we're spending real money, it's taxpayers' money, on an application for a grant. And I always kind of feel a little bit hesitant, and I would like to have some sort of idea as to whether or not it's a long shot to spend $7,000,
Mike, I don't know.
Said you have to play the odds in life, and I think he was right. You just have to be careful.
If they're able to provide that, I know that they were shocked that we didn't receive the grant for us to rehab the amphitheater. We just had the most perfect packet and documents and support, and we're just completely left out. As a matter of fact, from what I understand, it was really designed for small towns like ours, you know, who need help with these kinds of things, especially how historic we are. But in the end, most of the grants were given to the larger towns.
Yeah, I did read some of the grant specs, and it said that it gives preference to low-income kind of populations, people with disabilities, that kind of thing. And so I guess we're considered low to moderate income. Okay. Well, sometimes I wish we were for grants, but we're not. I think our some residents are very successful and they skew the numbers maybe, but anyhow. So we just have to decide whether or not
it's a long shot or not, because I think we thought we were shoo-in for last grant.
I think this is something that Carmela should be able to tell, give us some insight.
Yeah, there's nothing on the letter from the state that says how much might be available to the entire state, and thus how much would kind of be available to us. So
an October 14th deadline from what I read. So we do have some time since it's only June, and we have some meetings coming up between now and then. And if we want to get an idea, maybe through Carmela or other people, as to whether or not there's a good sized pot of money for this, or it's just, you know, a minor kind of grant program, I think it might make sense to take a look at that. That's just my opinion.
What did she want?
Yeah, the letter has a couple of links to information about the program itself, so they might talk about how much is available there.
Okay.
All right, well, we can close off.
We don't have to move on this tonight, right? We could. Okay. Yeah. And we could also bring it up again in the next finance meeting, too.
Mm-hmm. How much did she want? $700 to do this?
$7,000.
Wow. Yes. Right now I remember. I was a little taken aback by that also. Now that I remember.
Okay. Right. So we have time. Yeah.
So then we come to the second item on the agenda is cannabis legislation. So we need to decide whether we are open to having some type of marijuana business in Roosevelt, whether it would be a retail store or a grow facility, an agriculture facility.
Don't we need to have two public meetings before we vote?
Well, no, public meetings would be like we've made the decision and now we're open to public. This is just us discussing, do we even want to the idea of having that here?
Well, I think certainly since Hightstown has put the nicks on anything in their town, it would be great if we could start something here before they get their foot in it.
Oh, Hightstown. I wasn't aware that Hightstown nicked it.
Well, yeah, they put it off. They said no to all of, I think there's five or six different choices of what you are going to allow in your town. And from what I saw in the news, Hightstown voted against all of them. They could revisit it again, I think, in 6 months or something. But at this point, they said no to everything.
Do you have any idea why?
Well, the article didn't say. I wasn't at the meeting, but they, you know, there were people that thought they should get more information about how much monies that the town would get from it. You know, of course, there were people that were just against the idea of having marijuana in their town because it's a drug and they don't want kids, you know, being more exposed to it than they are. So those are some of the objections. But I think there was a large group that thought it would be good, but they thought they needed more information.
Taxing, you know, property tax money. How would we get a part of the sales taxes?
From what I read or in that video that was posted, it looks like we're allowed to go 2%. The town itself is allowed to add 2% of sales and distribution that would stay within the town. I don't know if we could use it for anything or we can deem where that money goes to.
Greg, you know something about this, right?
I guess no one read the memo I sent you guys.
I watched the video.
Yeah.
Well, in your defense, Councilman Atwood, you're new and didn't get the memo, I don't think, actually. But everyone else got like a 20-page memo on this topic.
I didn't get it.
And perhaps Councilman Mocker, I'm not sure. But in any event, he might have been too late, too. But in any event, all right, so there are two aspects to the cannabis, the new, we'll call it the Cannabis Act. It's not really that. It's the Cannabis Regulatory Legalization and Modernization Act. But let's just call it the Cannabis Act. So there's a new law. It legalizes cannabis, which includes hash oil, basically the stuff that gets you high, for recreational purposes, and forms a commission, just like there's an Alcoholic Beverage Commission. There is now a Cannabis Regulatory Commission, the CRC. And so they're currently writing the rules for the opening this market in the state, and they are required to do that and have the market open by November of 2022. The law was passed on February 21st, 2021, about a little under four months ago, and it indicated that within 180 days, any municipality that passes an ordinance can opt out of the law and say that they're basically a dry town for marijuana purposes. That's one option. There's three options, and I'll lay them out up front so you guys understand them. There's three options for municipal action or inaction. So the first possibility is that you opt out and you declare yourself a dry town for cannabis purposes. The second option is that you allow certain there's six classes of marijuana businesses. There's cultivators, the people that grow it. There's manufacturers, those that turn raw material of cannabis into some sort of product, like edibles or vape cartridges or whatever. There's manufacturers, so you'll be involved in the manufacture of cannabis products, items. They're called cannabis items under the Act. Three is a wholesaler, someone who purchases marijuana in bulk from a cultivator and then sells it to others for either processing or retail sale. There's a distributor, which is functionally the same as your liquor distributor, like the beer trucks you see rolling around. If you ever wondered why there's this huge 18-wheelers that goes to Whole Foods, right, and delivers all the groceries and the produce and everything, but they don't deliver any of the wine and they don't deliver any of the beer. And the reason for that is because in order to transport alcohol around the state, you have to have a distributor's license and be registered with the state and who you're giving it to, and you have to track it because it's a controlled substance. And so cannabis puts it in that category, not a controlled dangerous substance anymore, which are illegal. It's a controlled substance. And so there'll be distributors and there'll be marijuana trucks. And so the depots that have that are another class of use. And then you have retailers, which are people who own a store. They buy cannabis items from the distributors and manufacturers, and then they sell them to the public, just like any other retail store does, or a liquor store per se. And then the sixth category is delivery services. These will be hubs or depots or honestly, I can't describe them to you because no one's ever done this in the state before, so we don't know what they look like. But a delivery service will be something you go on your phone or an app or call up, just like you order a pizza, and someone will deliver marijuana to your house. I shouldn't say marijuana. The appropriate legal term is cannabis. We don't call it marijuana anymore. Marijuana is the illegal drug. So, for example, if you have cannabis that isn't registered and hasn't gone through the system that I just described, it's not cannabis, it's marijuana, and marijuana is illegal and you can still be arrested for it. So cannabis is the appropriate legal term. And so there are six classes of cannabis businesses. I just described them all to you. You cannot prevent delivery services from delivering within your borough. So this is a bad analogy for legal purposes, but it's the best way to describe it. Let's say FedEx wanted to open a warehouse and your zoning doesn't allow it. Well, you can prevent FedEx from opening the warehouse in your town, but you can't prevent FedEx from coming to people's houses and delivering its packages from Eatontown. So that's the distinction that I wanted to make that distinction. We got confused, but I wanted to bring that right up front. So you can't prevent people from delivering it within your town, but you can control. So like I said, you can opt out. The second option is you can regulate or allow any of those six classes of cannabis businesses to operate in your municipality, and you can control them just like you do everything else, from churches to gas stations to people's homes and their setbacks, through the zoning laws about how big they can be, what they can do, when they can operate, what hours. And in fact, I would tell you, not able to do all of this sort of thing with regular businesses, but with cannabis businesses, the act expressly allows you to provide hours of operation, all sorts of things that you wouldn't normally be able to regulate by your zoning ordinance. The third option is that you do nothing, which is that you don't take any ordinance or action or zoning regulation or do anything as a municipality. And in that case, all the classes that I mentioned that sound industrial, like the first four of them, which is the cultivator, manufacturer, distributor, and wholesaler, will be automatically permitted in any industrial zones within the town. And the retail and delivery services will be allowed in any commercial district in the town by default under the Act. So if you do nothing, it will be allowed in whatever form it comes in those zones. If you want to allow it but control it and have, say, it can only be in certain zones or it can only be here or there, you basically have the authority to do pretty much whatever you want in regulating in that fashion under the Act. Or you can opt out entirely. And the deadline to do any of the first two, which is obviously the only two that require action, is 6 months from the date the Act was passed, or August 22nd, 2021, from the date Governor Murphy signed it, which was February 22nd, 2021, I should say. And so that's the whole rubric in terms of operational businesses in the marketplace. Now, there's a whole separate discussion, and I want you to forget everything I just told you, because this is entirely – actually, before I jump to that, I want to talk about the taxes. So on any of the retail classes of marijuana business, any retail sale, you can add an automatic 2% local tax. So it's like having a local VAT tax, like Atlantic City taxes your hotel room. And it's general revenue. It comes to the town. You can use it for whatever you want. And it's tax revenue just like people pay in their property taxes. You can put it in the general fund. You can transfer it to the utilities, whatever you want to do. And that's 2% of all of the gross sales of the like a sales tax, a 2% local sales tax on any of the retail. On the industrial wholesaler side, it's 1%. So if you have a warehouse in town and they do X amount of business, all of that's going to be registered through the Cannabis Regulatory Commission, just like you can. I don't know if you can open this or not, but I know the state knows exactly how much, like Fedway Associates, which is there's only three liquor distributors really in the state. Fedway is one of them. I just pulled them out of a hat for no particular reason because I know their name. And like the state knows exactly how much liquor they sold last year down to the bottle. So it's going to be the same thing. And then you and certified tax collector, and you collect that like you do any local VAT tax, essentially. It's an excise tax, but we'll call it a local excise tax, but it's really like it's functionally like a VAT tax. You collect it like the hotels. So like you get the hotel's books and how many rooms they rented and everything like that. And you collect as a local municipality. So Atlantic City does. You do the same thing here with any marijuana business, or pardon me, I keep saying that, cannabis business.
On a question, Greg?
Let me finish, Joe, can I finish okay. Let me just finish the whole rubric for everybody. And then I'm sure you got plenty of questions. So hold that thought. Okay. So that is the business zoning tax regulation side. Put all that in a box for a minute. And then let's talk about just your police powers. So it's not legal to walk down North Rochdale Avenue in the borough of Roosevelt drinking a Budweiser, right? Because it's an open container in public. It's public consumption. You guys know all those rules. That's why people carry around brown bags in the city, the whole nine yards, right? Now, the Act doesn't treat cannabis the same as alcohol. It treats it like tobacco. Now, tobacco is not a public safety regulation. Like alcohol, the reason you can't walk around drinking everywhere is because we don't want drunk people everywhere, because there's usually problems. And so that's a public safety regulation. Now, the Cannabis Act is written as a public health legislation. So it defines public places as the same as the Smoke-Free Air Act. So your parks, your public buildings, and things like that. But North Rochdale Avenue on the right-of-way is not one of those areas, right, that you could smoke a cigarette on the street. And so the Act itself augments your police powers in specific ways. Like you, for example, it is obviously illegal for minors to have alcohol. But it's also, and obviously anyone to have it in public, but it's particularly illegal for them to have it on public property, and the police can go on public property if they believe minors have alcohol in it. And there's ordinances in your town that say that. It's one of the classic public safety ones. So there's a marijuana law that mirrors that. And the question is, you're cutting down to the end of it so you guys can get to your questions, is in other towns, they have passed ordinance, forget about the rest of it. They have all passed ordinances to anywhere you can't have an open beer, like drinking in a park, you can't also smoke a joint. And the difference between the two is, so number one, if you were smoking a cigarette in that park, it affects the children and their public health, right? But we don't let you drink a beer in the park because if you leave half your six pack, there's kids there. And so other towns that are almost all the towns that, regardless of what they've done on the other side, some have allowed it, some have banned it, some have done various things, but everyone's changed their ordinances to treat marijuana, cannabis like alcohol in terms of public consumption. So if you want to sit on your porch and have a joint, no problem. That would have been a problem before this act. It's not a problem now, just like you can sit on your porch and have a glass of wine or beer, but you can't walk down North Rochdale Avenue or go to the public park and bring a cooler with you. I work from beach towns. They banned it on the beach, obviously, and it's obviously more salient there in terms of their public spaces that are much more crowded and stuff than your town. But that's the other aspect of this, the police power and public safety versus public health. And the Cannabis Act does not actually prevent people from walking down the street smoking a joint. So if you don't want that in your town, then you have to have a local ordinance like you do for alcohol. But Joe, you had the first question, obviously.
Okay, yeah. So if we do nothing, then we're an open town. But between the planning board and the council, can we create our own legislation, like you said, that nobody can walk down Rochdale Avenue smoking a joint?
Yeah, so you don't need the zoning board to do that. That we can do in two meetings right here. If that's a police power of the municipality. Now, if you want to change the zoning regulations, so let's say you wanted to allow one or more classes of cannabis businesses, and you wanted to put particular parameters on them, like you have to have a 10,000-foot lot and a 20-foot fence and stuff like that. Well, we can write a zoning ordinance, and we'll have to go before the planning board. So we pretty much need to do that ordinance by, I mean,
so
July. We introduce it by the first meeting in July, get the planning board meeting.
But we would have to produce that ordinance. It's not like they would have to ask and we could say yes or no to any particular business that wanted to come in.
So it will be a permitted use in industrial zones, all of the industrial classes, meaning that they apply and they get a zoning permit as a matter of right as a permitted use in that zone, provided they meet all the other requirements of that zone, right? Like setbacks, and they don't need a variance for some other reason about the physicality of their building. Because functionally, these are just going to be businesses. It's hard to wrap your mind around after years of prohibition and reefer madness, but like this is going to be, it's just going to be just like alcohol. So if someone wants to open a liquor store in your town, all the same concerns and everything except zoning. I mean, it's just going to be zoning pretty much. You have enough parking spaces and you have the storefront, you got a marijuana, you got a cannabis business. Enough to make that change. Sorry.
Do we?
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe I missed it. Do we have to license this? License it like we do the liquor store?
No, it will be licensed from the state, from the Cannabis Regulatory Commission.
But we don't issue a license.
No, but if someone wants to build it, you'll have to issue a zoning permit. That's your local control.
Yeah, I understand that.
No licenses.
Really. No, there won't be any. It won't be any local control of the licenses.
Okay.
Oh, so is it like if you license, you get, you know, the municipality can collect $2,500.
There will not be licensing fees in that matter. No.
Not even those fees. Okay.
No, I mean, this is a brand new market. Well, frankly, when they had local control of the liquor licenses, like we do right now, you know, a number of years ago, it was a terrible bed of public corruption. So they don't even want to take the chance with this. You know, we're talking about big business. You're talking about a lot of people that are opting out. A lot of towns are opting out. And so the PLCs that are going to have this are going to be looking at a substantial increase in land values because you're only allowed to do whenever you're only allowed to do something in one place. And that thing is popular, the land values go up. And there's going to be a lot at stake. So the state chose to leave the typical regular municipal controls in place of police power and zoning regulation, but did not give the expanded alcohol powers because they want to keep it at the state level. And I think it's a public corruption issue.
So let me just ask this question in a different way, Greg. If someone wanted to open something up here, in any case, they would have to go through our zoning or planning board. Is that the story?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we have a bit of control with that. If the planning zoning board says okay, does the council have any input on it?
No. Not after August 22nd. Oh, and the other thing I should mention is, and this is important too. I'm sorry, I'll have this out procedurally. So once that decision is made in August, it stays in place for 5 years if you're being more restrictive. So it's a ratcheting system. So let's say you opted out now, then in December, you decided you wanted to allow it in some fashion. You can allow it in an increasing way, but you can't roll it back. Does that make sense? So if we open it up
to everything, we cannot roll it back. If we open it up to nothing, we can opt in a little at a time if we want.
Yes. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. Let me just say this from personal experience.
I'm sorry, Joe. Just one last thing on that point real quick. And you'll have to reconsider it every 5 years if you opt out. So the opt out or the limitations you have in place are only good for 5 years, and then the town will have to reconsider it again during a 6-month window 5 years from now.
Can you change it into, well, say you opt out and then you decide before the 5 years to make
it? You can opt in, but if you, let's say you're in and cannabis business is open in the town, and then 5 years from now the town, there's different people in charge and they decide to prohibit it and opt out, you'll be able to do that, but all the existing ones are grandfathered in. As pre-existing non-conforming uses.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Just from experience, having gone to Cranberry, to their shop up there all the time, that's an awful lot of people in one spot in a tiny town like this. I've seen people waiting in their cars, like 20 or 30 cars waiting to get into the place up there. And so there's no parking in an industrial park for all of their customers. So to me, it's like I wouldn't want them to shoot a movie in this town. I don't think I'd want anything opened up here that would be for the cannabis distribution or any of the above. However, I don't think that we should opt in or opt out. So if we opt out, then we can still go into it a little at a time if we wanted to, is really the point that I'm getting here.
Mm-hmm. So, if we opt out, so, what, Joe? Say that again.
So if we opt out, then if in December we want maybe the little store to open or something, then we can allow that. But it would have to go through the planning board. It would have to go through the council, as I understand it. Right?
I don't know. Not through the council, the planning board, only.
The planning board, yeah.
I don't think we have anything to say after that.
Okay. So if we opt out, then we can nibble back into it if we want to at some given point in time.
Fred, is there a way for us to find out if the towns, if you have the pharmacies now, whether they feel they've made the right decision or they regret allowing it? Or
you can call their mayors. I mean, I called the mayor of, what is the one? I think it's in Woodbridge.
Mm-hmm.
Talked to some of the cops up there that I know, because when I went to high school, a couple of Woodbridge cops. Mm-hmm. They said they don't really have problems. So they have more problems with liquor stores in terms of, like, problems. But it's definitely a draw. You know, they said there's a lot of people there. They have traffic control is their biggest problem with it.
That's one of the deals, traffic control, yeah.
How does security get handled for these facilities, for growers and manufacturers, wholesalers, distributors, all of that?
So the Cannabis Regulatory Commission will, I'm sure, have baseline standards that come out, but functionally you can require them here if you wanted them here to do whatever they wanted, do whatever you want. Gate, lock gate, 24/7 security, whatever. Yeah. Those parameters are clearly enumerated in the act as things that you can require.
Yeah, the state regs go over security also, I believe.
I mean, look, I'm in Aberdeen, where I'm a councilman, so we're allowing it, but in a fashion in which that there's no way they can get it without a variance before the zoning board. So like the lots aren't big enough in the zone without going to get something. So there's a screen And then if people call and they say, hey, I really want to put this business in your town, but your zoning doesn't really allow it, then we'll talk to that individual person and figure it out. That's how we've decided to handle it. And no retail, because we don't feel like dealing with the traffic and the cars and the people complaining about all that.
Absolutely.
A much busier town than Roosevelt. So Allentown has banned it. They opted out, and Bradley Beach opted out. And I'm just giving you the survey of the towns that I know that I've worked on or worked with. Red Bank is going, so half the council wants to do nothing and just let it see what the market does, because they're very much in favor of it. And half the council member wants to opt out, and two other council members want to regulate it in some fashion.
Okay. So we have, we have our industrial section of where the factories are, and then we have the gas station property, which has limitations because of it being swamp wetlands behind there. There's a buffer zone. So any company that would want to set up in Roosevelt, be it a retail store, a grow facility, distribution, could it be incumbent upon them to pay for their engineers to do the schematics to see whether this is even a feasible property for them?
Oh, they'd be doing that anyway, yeah. Michelle will make them put up an escrow, and they'll pay for Carmella to review it, too.
Right. There was some question about whether we even have the room or the, but they would come to that conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are opting out just because the CRC hasn't written the rules yet.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are having a lot of trouble visualizing what that might be, because no one really knows.
You can opt in at any time, like little, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to hear.
It's an interesting tightrope, because you can do whatever you can opt in a little at a time, but the people have to call you to begin with to put the business in your town. So it's an interesting question about whether location is most important, is opting in most important, is opting out most important. I mean, it's a complete market exercise that no one's ever done. So I'd be foolish to sit here and tell you I know what's going to happen.
So they wouldn't really have an input unless we decided to approve it, and then we had the public hearing
on the ordinance.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm sorry, Mike, you had a question?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd like more information. What Malcolm was saying about possibly contacting other municipalities to find out what was the conversation like there? What did they find out? What research did they do? Why did they decide to opt out or opt in a limited way? So I would like to get more information like that. I also think that there are other public bodies in town that might want to chime in too. I'd hate to see it just be something that we decide, because I'm sure the school board might have issues with, a marijuana facility being right down the road, possibly right across from.
I also want to mention that it cannot be with. So the federal law still exists.
How did we have a liquor store right across the street from the school?
That's not drugs.
What?
That's drugs, right? Yep. Yeah.
So you cannot have. So one of these facilities will not be able to be within 1,000-foot radius of any school.
Right.
And school is defined as, it's not necessarily just a public school.
Some of the concerns I have regard the fact that it might be some sort of an issue regarding crime or people coming and hanging out in Roosevelt. Yeah. Because Roosevelt is known as they're growing it there, and they have another facility, that kind of thing. And also on the flip side of the coin, I have concerns about security forces that may be in town, or to 24/7 security personnel that might be toting guns in the town too, and present in the town. We're not used to that. we had one police officer. That was Wilbur, and that was how long ago, Peggy?
Wilbur.
A long time.
He was gone by 1979.
Yeah.
And he didn't carry a gun.
Okay.
He did.
So those are all the kinds of thoughts.
He carried a gun.
Also, I'd like to see, what does the school board think? What does the environmental commission think. What about the planning board? There's planning board issues, land use.
Wait, before we go further, we're not talking about a parking lot. Like ShopRite has a parking lot and it's enormous and you can park anywhere. You can't park more than five cars in that little space there. So, you know, let's not go haywire on this one.
What space do you
limiting talk? Ourselves. We're limiting ourselves. We have to limit ourselves to the size of the property we're offering.
Well, that's if it goes at the gas station, but there's also other possibilities.
What's that?
Really?
Well, that's the gas station, Lou, but then there's other possibilities.
Where?
So we have until August, right?
At the factory?
Yeah.
Oh, if it's at the factory, that's a little different. Now you're talking about a parking.
Well, we do have farmland.
That's reasonably.
We have farmers and farmland that might be useful. I don't know how that would work with the farmers that we have and the landowners. But
most of this stuff is grown indoors. Like in Cranberry, there's a 50,000 foot warehouse space that they grow it in there, and then they sell it out in the front store. But security for these people, because it's a cash business also. So there will be large amounts of cash in whoever the retailer is, and they have to deal with that in terms of security also. So it's kind of a can of worms for a small town. I don't know.
Well, and the other end of it that looks attractive, though, is the 2% or 1%.
Yeah, but you know something?
Over the cost, so.
But the cost of security and the cost of all this other thing.
We don't pay for the security.
That's
security is from the business.
That we don't pay that. They provide
it. But it will change the nature of the town to be, that spot that you go to get your stuff, you know.
Yeah, so, this isn't a fiscal issue.
We have
the kids know where the spots to get the stuff are anyway.
That's exactly right. Greg, let me ask you a question. Is it okay? Could we send out a flyer asking the public, like, to check a box?
You can do it. Yeah, just contact your constituents, or you can poll, or sort of whatever you need.
How most people feel.
Yeah. However you guys feel, you best represent your people.
Peggy, are you thinking a survey of some sort?
Pardon me?
Are you thinking about a survey, an informal survey?
Real informal, yes. Would you be would you be in favor of some type of cannabis such as a grow or distribution or retail store, or would you not? Like, two boxes not make it very,
Well, you could post my memo online. So Red Bank posted my memo and told the public to read my memo and then tell them what they thought, email them. So you could also give them, I don't know if that works here, but so people understand what all the rules are. You send out kind of like, are you in favor of it? I mean, you can get that answer. You can go look at the referendum result.
Read, our municipal attorney's memo online for more detail.
Yeah, what should we do? I mean, the memo, I just re-forwarded it to everybody. So, Councilman Atwood, you have it. there's a choice of three things in there. So, I mean, that's really what you
there's like, another, really there's what another thing in the state rules also. If a person under 18 gets caught, with cannabis, then the police are not allowed to tell their parents that they got caught. So,
well, it's 21, and so the legal age to possess cannabis is 21.
Right.
And any minor caught, there's like a warning system. I think there's a bill introduced that's going to correct the not informing parents when the child is under 18.
Exactly.
That was in the original.
That was removed.
Yeah, that's been maybe the bill's passed 30. I haven't been tracking that because that's salient to my municipal regulation. Yeah. But So I think we changed.
Well, how does everyone feel if I send out a flyer? Just a real basic, giving them boxes and then also advising them to read Greg's memo.
You're gonna put the memo on the borough website.
Yeah.
That seems like a good idea.
Yes.
Yep. The public should also
input. I think people in this town will read it and give you a real answer.
I don't know. would like to. I mean, we're known as this old hippie town, and honestly, in the 60s, Roosevelt was where everyone came to buy marijuana. Like, it was a fact. People know that. But, of course, over the years, a lot of years, things have changed, and I just really have no idea how most, we have many new residents here, so I just don't know how people would feel. I'd like, besides just us and the planning board and environmental, I would like to know in general how the public feels.
I think the public, part of that questionnaire though, people may want to know what would be the monetary gain from this. Would that offset their...
I think Bob's right. People want to know what's in it for us if we're going to do this. And so it's a complex thing. I think it would be good to invite them into the process, the public, and say, look, here's the deal. We had three choices. We're going to be discussing it. We have to move on it by, August 22nd?
August 22nd. Yeah.
Yeah. And so
you have to get an ordinance adopted by then if you're going to take one of the first two actions.
Okay. All right.
You got to have that in July.
Yeah, I think just inviting them into the process, I'm sure we could get a lot of people who have a lot of questions, and it might, they'll have a lot of questions about things that we haven't even thought of, and we'll go, oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
And put a note in the bulletins telling them to.
Well, then, but probably the next bulletin isn't until September, I would think. You would know. Michael,
when is the next? Michael?
Yes, they should. We just previewed the one, was just Rich sent one out to me that's coming out very shortly.
And that'll be the last.
So a flyer could go out on the bulletin.
You may have to do a special edition.
No, not as a bulletin. I think telling people to reference it at in the computer on the internet.
At this point, just send a flyer. And reference people.
All right. That's good enough.
There's so many new people, and there's such a disparity in Roosevelt of ages and longtime residents, new residents, old hippies, different, you know, I just really don't know how.
Are there any websites that offer links to all the new regulations and questions and answers? And, you know, is there places that we could tell the public that, you know, if you want more information, you can Google.
Not really. I would have done that. No, nowhere that presents it objectively. So that's why I wrote you that memo, because there's really no. So like the League of Municipalities is in favor of some stuff that gets the municipalities money, but not in favor of other things that might affect quality of life. And they really come at it from like a really strict kind of, not necessarily resident level, from really like a municipal governance level. Then you can imagine there's a lot of people lobbying for everyone to opt out because they lost the referendum last November. You got a lot of people who have a lot of money into this and investing into businesses who have put out a lot of material. So I wish there was something. I would have just sent you a link instead of writing you guys. But there really isn't anything that presents it in a very objective way, to be honest with you.
Okay. Wild West right now. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, it's a new market. I mean, this is what it looked like when they invented the light bulb, right?
Our area is changing anyway, you know, with Adventure Crossing coming, like everything going on in Jackson and GPS sending through Roosevelt, we're going to really see increased traffic.
You're a cute little town.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I haven't run into any town yet that's like outright allowing the retail. Because that's what brings all the people to town, and no one wants more traffic or anyone in their town, right? I mean, that's universal.
I think security and traffic are put together a retail store.
I wanted to dispel one myth too, so that that they're going to have like boatloads of cash on the premises. So like that's not going to be the case. There's a bunch of out in Colorado in the middle of nowhere, basically. That's what they were doing. But here we have plenty of state chartered banks that they're not going to be leaving cash in bundles on premises like you saw on 60 Minutes at the beginning of the den, like in Colorado. There are state chartered banks, they're going to be deposits and all that sort of stuff, take credit cards, everything. So it won't be, they've worked that, the money changers figured out that this is a big business and they were missing out on money as a result of the federal law. So there's all kinds of loopholes, even the federal law now, for the credit card companies to be able to take your credit card for cannabis. The state to have it legal. So That's, I just wanted to spell, I know someone brought that up earlier. It's really about guarding the product because, I mean, it's an extremely valuable product by weight, right? So anything, anytime you have gold bars or size or anything that's valuable and small, you know, if they're doing diamonds or digging diamonds in the fields, they would, same thing. So that's really what you're concerned about is the product, not necessarily cash. That would be in state charter banks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I was saying, I'm surprised they didn't put in caveat for that being retail stores being on the highway. You know, just pulling to like a parking lot.
I think that's what they anticipate. I mean, it says commercial zones and then, and it kind of leaves it vague, yeah. Right? So like commercial could be retail. Is that residential office zones? Is that research office zones? Is that, what is that? A commercial zone is, it's very vague in the act. And I think that's intentional because I think they fully expect the best legal argument when this ever gets argued out to be that highway commercial zones. Like that's the only zone, a regional commercial zone, you know, your traditional like byway places. Like that's the way I think the state envisions it, you know, reading it behind the, into the law in that manner. Whether they'll look like ShopRite or they'll look like a liquor store or they'll look like, you know, a cigar shop, I have no idea. That's just speculation by anybody at this point.
Well, I wonder if they'll look like they do in other states, like in California and Colorado.
Perhaps. I mean, there's also a big, you know, so there, like, you have to have a license for any place of any substantial size, but there is exemptions they're already talking about, which look like they're going to work their way into regulations for anything under 2,500 square feet. Like for licensing from the state level. So like, you know, they're basically encouraging like the equivalent of microbreweries or micro, you know, stores and stuff like that. So I don't really know. I mean, I imagine in that amount of space, people are going to come up with some, you know, very interesting ideas.
If you had to guess, when do you think the first retail store would open anywhere? There's so much that's just vague.
Christmas 22. That's the target right now. They're supposed to have the rules in place, licenses issued, and people ready to go as of November 2022. So
I got some emails at least 3 or 4 years ago asking if I wanted to take the courses or the classes to get the license to be able to open my own store. And that was before.
Yeah, I mean, don't bother.
Oh, no. It was 5,000.
Like, honestly, I mean, this has been done in other states. This is, you're going to compete against Philip Morris. This is like saying I'm going to sell cheese and competing against Kraft Foods. Like, you know, this is big business. Like, these people are going to have these, like, they'll open a store overnight with the amount of money that the businesses that are in this thing.
Oh yeah, this was, they wanted $5,000 to get you.
Yeah, money. That's just stealing your money. You're better off selling the shovels and the pickaxes to the miners than trying to go look for gold yourself. That's the way I see this market.
I suspect it's going to be a very big business.
I think so.
Yeah. But, I didn't hear.
I say I suspect it's going to be big business when it opens up.
It is big business already. They have corporate on the New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah, publicly traded. Yeah,
they're getting a lot of money pumped into it. There's a lot of money in it.
Corporations are going to get involved in this.
We're selling a lot of, like, the companies or whatever, the funds that are finding
a lot of money in that weed.
Honestly, the way I see it, you're better off going and finding a space in some urban enterprise zone where they're going to allow this, in a place where all the stores are vacant, and renting the 5 across the street and opening a candy store, a bagel store, and an ice cream shop right across from the weed place. I think that's the way, like, pickaxes to the miners. I think that's where the money for, like, regular people is. Otherwise, this is big business. Like, these people are coming.
It's not like dandelions, Mike. This is the real
thing. Okay.
Okay, well, I'll send out a flyer and I'll tell people probably they can either call the borough hall and just or drop the flyer into our outside box here.
And maybe a discussion could be, maybe we could contact the various commissions in town, environmental commission, planning board, and all, and suggest that they may want to put it on the agenda for discussion there too, just to,
and the school board.
Yeah, in the school part, to see what people think. Because they're all different, you know, populations that are involved, different stakeholders in town.
Yeah. Okay. Any other discussion or questions or concerns about cannabis legislation?
The only concern I have is that we really need to know what we're doing, like, 3 weeks 4 weeks to get it done on time unless you want to have special meetings?
Well, our next meeting is the 21st, right, of June. So are we okay with that?
Do we only have one in July and August or no?
We have two in July.
Oh, we have two? Oh, then we're okay. Then we just need to know by the first meeting in July, then we're okay.
July.
We have more than, that's 4 or 5 weeks.
And
two meetings, yeah.
And the 16th in August, so, like, 16th you have to final adoption.
Okay, so then the second meeting in July. So you have more than that. You have like 6 weeks. You have 6 weeks to really know like which one of the three directions.
Have any idea as to what the possible tax revenue could be in a small town like this, depending on the size of the operation?
I'd be totally no idea.
It's hard to figure out.
What kind of facility we have here? Retail, distribution, grow.
Greg just said it's 2%.
1% of the class 1 through 4 and 2% of the class 5, which is retail.
That depends on the traffic. And I suspect that if we open something here, traffic safety notwithstanding, we would have traffic.
We would what?
Also depends on the price. Like if you're doing 2%, like if you're saying 2%, I have no idea what cannabis costs. No one's ever sold it in New Jersey before.
Yeah.
So I'd be totally speculating because I have no idea what the price of a product would be.
For all of the competition that's going to start, it's not going to be inexpensive, I assure you.
Well, that's the goal. The goal is to make it as cheap as possible and eliminate the black market.
The goal is to make it so everyone can afford it. Otherwise,
whose goal is it? Let me tell you. Okay, go ahead. It's like gas stations.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice something? The gas stations? Prices are all the same. It was plus or minus a couple of pennies.
Okay.
The cheapest ones are the ones that accept a credit card without prejudice.
So, Peggy, you're going to get a flyer out to the public?
Talk to your neighbors, ask them to fill out the flyer when they get it. And drop it in the box at the Borough Hall. And hopefully we'll get the flyer out right away. So by the time we have another meeting in 2 weeks, hopefully we'll have a good sampling of the public, how the public feels. Should we ask for the person's name on the flyer or not?
I wouldn't do that. And also I'd be very careful with how you word your questions in any kind of survey. You don't want people to accuse you of
being a push-pull
kind of thing.
You don't want to push it
because of the way that it was worded.
I only wondered if there'd be ballot stuffing. Somebody takes 5 then who don't want it. Somebody takes 10 who do,
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I just think they ought to be invited into the process and, learn more about it and offer their input, ask questions, that kind of thing.
All right, well, we'll try it this way first, and we have some time to figure it out. Greg, is it possible that we could, I know we don't have a lot of time, invite someone in to make a presentation?
Sure. We have 2 meetings between, you have time.
We have 1 more in June, 2 in July, and the first one in August.
What do you have in mind?
I think Cheech and Chong are touring.
Abe's
not here, yeah.
Yeah. Or the guys in Wayne's World, they could do it,
Yeah, if you invited one person, that would be leaning one way or the other. That's tough to just get somebody to come in to speak.
Someone from retail end, maybe someone from the agriculture end, see what they say. Corey, they're going to tell us how beneficial it will be to us, but I'd still like to hear. Do you know any?
How about a drug alliance coordinator? She sent that information. I sent it all to you guys. She said she would like to. Wouldn't mind.
Sure.
Greg, do you know of any? People representing.
No one that's not interested one way, doesn't have an interest in it.
Right. I know anybody from the. A cannabis facility is definitely going to tell us why it would be so beneficial to us.
I could find one. I can't say that I know someone off the top.
Because I'd still like to.
I've been avoiding them for years, knowing this is coming.
Hear what they had to say. I mean, I think we all know the downside and the negative aspect. So I'd just like to hear what they had to say about why it would be beneficial for us.
I mean, I know several lawyers that are like experts in this field, and this is what they've been studying for the last 3 years during the legalization process. I could get one of them to come talk.
That would be great. Would people be in favor of that, hearing someone?
Yeah.
I mean, full disclosure, most of them are pro because they're not making any money if it's common, right? So, you know, like I said, I don't know a lot of disinterested people that are going to, like, academically going to come here.
But I think it's the odds.
That's the closest I can get for you.
The negative aspects are obvious, so that's what I'd like to hear from someone who, even if they, you know, if they're pro.
The more the practical aspects of, like, how it runs, what it would be, how they expect the business to be. That's why you're looking for someone in the field.
Right.
Well, we've gotten letters. What about those? Well, the last letter we got was GTL Cultivators.
Well, I've gotten quite a few letters. Yeah.
I mean, that might not be
showing interest.
That would be the horse's mouth, really, right?
That's right.
All right.
I have a question, but I'm not sure
whether point.
This is a planning board question or whatever.
We have
preserved farmland. Fair amount. If somebody wanted to set up a growing facility, that would probably be inside a building.
Definitely inside a building in this climate.
How could it not be?
That was my first question when they came to when our lawyers did this in Aberdeen, because they brought an industry person, and I asked what is it, and they said it's all inside. They don't grow anything outside.
Yeah, so would that facility be more of a manufacturing facility, or would it be an agricultural?
Cultivator? It's classified as a cultivator.
Okay.
Agricultural.
So it's agricultural in the sense that they're growing an agricultural product, but you can't build a warehouse like that on preserved farmland. Like, that's not. They sold their development rights, so they can't build improvements like
right.
that.
Right, stripped of development rights, right. Yep.
Peggy, if you know people that are interested in using our property for cannabis, they must know what they want to do. They must know what they need in terms of size, space, parking, the whole thing. I don't think they're amateurs, these people. It would be a good idea to invite one or two of those in here. Let them give us a presentation, and we'll know whether that piece of property is even worth, you know, going after.
Yeah. Okay.
You know.
I'll do that.
If we get three people and they say no, this your property is too small for anything, then you know then forget it. It's not worth it. But if you get three and two of them say yes, we can put in a retail store. And we'll tell you how we'll control the traffic or whatever. Then you have something to talk about. But otherwise, we're spinning our wheels.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll follow through with that.
Yeah, invite them in to a council meeting one night.
Examples.
Invite them to a council meeting and let's do it at a council meeting. Or even have a special council meeting. I don't care. I'm available.
Mm-hmm.
Alright. Okay, anything more about this? I'm going to open the floor to public comment at 7:41 p.m.
No, I'm sorry, it's 8:41.
Or, yeah, 8:41.
Michael?
Okay.
Michael?
Thank you. Okay, several things. First of all, the question about an indoor facility on a preserved land. I recall reading of situations where people set up indoor shrimp farming structures, and that was approved since aquaculture is considered a form of approved farmland use, that was allowed.
Okay.
So I wouldn't conclude that anything involves building something is not allowed on preserved land. Okay. Another point, the if we're going to send something out to the public, we're going to send something to the public, and Greg pointed out there were six possibilities. Some people might, rather than a yes, no question, do you approve, do you disapprove of cannabis? People might approve of some things and not approve of other things. So I think you'd have to be.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to avoid, making it too complicated on the flyer, just getting a general idea. Are you interested in
some
type of marijuana facility, cannabis facility, or do you blanketly disapprove? Like, just get a feel. Because
get the people who totally disapprove that way, but, you know, there may be people who say, yes, but I don't want something that's going to generate traffic. I don't want something that's going to generate, you know, possible police problems. Something that, you know, is more contained might be okay. So just, but
if you put, Michael is right. If you put the list on that flyer and tell them to circle the one they want, they like it, don't like.
All right. I was trying to make it more simple, but okay.
Okay, you know, a couple more things.
Because those six items are very clear about what they are. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand those. So, you know, let them just circle the one you're interested in, you think would be appropriate, and need the others, leave alone. So you get an idea.
That's some more things for me.
First one, then one, two, three, four.
Yeah, thank you. One of the questions that came up was about the whether we qualified as a lower moderate income community. We don't, because that's a similar criteria. That's a similar question is right comes up for the community development block grant, where you have to be in what's defined low moderate income census tract. We're one census tract, and we're not a low moderate income census tract. So you can be eligible for things for seniors, for handicapped, but not for things based on income. Okay. The other question about the Environmental Commission. Have we heard any communication from Robin about her resigning or what?
Robin has resigned, and okay. I'm interviewing someone. This is a really, that may not be until next week to be EC secretary.
Okay.
So I was going to talk to you about May. You have to go one meeting with recording the minutes yourself. And
okay, do you think that we should have somebody that you could recommend to the Environmental Commission to be elected as Environmental Commission secretary by the meeting of the 16th?
I'm going to try, Mike.
Because that's our meeting. Otherwise, we can just call off the meeting. If we're not going to have a secretary, we'll have to call off the meeting.
I'm going to try.
Just let me know before. Okay,
yeah.
That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Well, we don't have a meeting till the 21st is our next meeting.
No, but he just means so they can. Oh, I see what you're saying.
So we wouldn't appoint till the 21st.
You don't appoint the environment. Basically, you'd be finding somebody for us, but the Environmental Commission itself has to make the. Boy has to make the election. You know, you tell us just you approve somebody who you're willing to pay.
The person can make it for that meeting. We can just confirm them retroactively.
Yeah, retroactively.
You have to make sure there's votes for that, obviously.
I'll be able to meet with this person this week. It'll probably be next week, and then we don't have the meeting until the 21st anyway. So, but I was going to let you know about that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anything else from anyone in the public? Close public portion at 8:46. Yeah. Counselor, do we need a closed session?
I wanted to follow up with you all on the two items we discussed last time, if that's okay.
I didn't hear.
We'll just follow up with us on two items from the last time. Okay, can you bow out for a while?
So just to announce what the topics are for executive appropriately. So one is potential litigation, NERCO Road right-of-way encroachment.
Yeah.
And the other one is potential litigation, Green Acres encroachment.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to do read a resolution providing for a private executive meeting that excludes the public, whereas the Open Public Meetings Act enacted October 21st, 1975 permits the public body the public from meetings or portions thereof wherein matters are to be discussed which are exempted from the requirements of the Act. And whereas the said Act requires that prior to holding of a meeting, or portion thereof from which the public shall be excluded, the public body should adopt a resolution at a public meeting. Sorry, I'll put this on me. Not that I need it on me. Excluded the public body should adopt a resolution at a public meeting providing for the holding of a private meeting. And whereas the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt has determined that a meeting should be held from which the public should be excluded in order to discuss a subject which is exempted under the said act. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Borough Council as follows. That the next portion of this meeting to be held in private session, that a general nature of the matter to be discussed related to the matters, potential litigation, Nerco Road, right-of-way encroachment, potential litigation, encroachment on Green Acres. That no official action will be taken at the meeting, but minutes shall be kept and shall be available to the public after official action on the subject matter has been taken. It is anticipated that the discussion conducted in closed session can be disclosed to the public after no further action is required in this matter. Can I have a motion to adopt that resolution, please?
You do.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Roll call, Mr. Atwood.
He's on mute.
Sorry. Yes. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
Mr. Falk?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. So I am going to pause the recording. Okay. Now we're out of executive session at 9:14. We need an adjournment.
You have a motion.
Second?
I understand.
No.
Second.
All in favor?
Without objection.
Aye.
Did I get an aye from everyone?
No.
Yes, yes.
Aye.
Don't forget, vote everyone and tomorrow. And good luck, Greg. Steve and Bob don't need good luck here.
And Bob and Steve, too.
I said they don't need luck here. They'll luck.
Okay.
I think it's just of opposition for them that wins on a write-in, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, they could get defeated by a write-in. That's happened before. You know?
That's very true, but I just don't think that'll happen tomorrow.
No, they wouldn't be that lucky.
You hadn't heard about it yet? Probably not.
Yeah.
Good night, everyone. All right, good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Take care, dear.
Bye-bye.